Good morning. It's hard to believe we're only 16 days away from the election. Lord help us. Oh, don't even know what to say. Oh, I feel like, today's teaching is very important for us just to kind of grasp and kind of hold on to in our lives. Of course, we've been doing the entire year talking about returning to our roots and then kind of focusing now on God's blueprint for the church that we see in the New Testament, the outline, the blueprint, and trying to go back to our original intent. And we're going to be getting into some of the specifics of that, in the months to come when we get into talking about the apostolic and fivefold ministry and all those things. But we're trying to lay a groundwork before we go into those specific things, because we as the church need to be prepared and ready to enter the days that we're going into. Not just like prepper class, but we need to be prepared spiritually. We need to be prepared in the knowledge of the Word of God, and let that be the foundation that leads us into the days in front of us. One of the things that Jesus says in Matthew 24 and 25 are kind of the last, the Mount of Olive discourse, where Jesus kind of preaches his last sermons before he leaves the planet. And he says this in Matthew 24, verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceives you." And so one of the things that is mentioned over and over by the mouth of Jesus, and then is later by the apostles as they wrote the New Testament, is this position that we need to be in as God's people, not to walk in or give place to deception. And the reason why that God emphasizes this so much is because that is the foundation of the enemy. Everything the enemy does is built on deception. And so what we have to understand is that we live in a day where there is a true ecclesia church and there's a false church. And let me just say it very bluntly, that the false church is actually larger now than the true. And we could talk about why I think that, but I was thinking about this the other day. The Pope was sharing, and he with his own mouth was saying there's many ways to get to God, that Jesus is not the only way. And this is the largest Christian organization in the world that has probably 1 billion people. And so I believe with all my heart there's many Christian Catholics that know Jesus as their Savior. But as far as the institution itself, it has become more and more a place of deception. But the reality of that is it's not just within the Catholics, but it's also just as true among us Spirit-filled folks. There's a lot of deception that's creeped in. And when Jesus says, be on guard, be aware, watch out for, then we probably should take heed to what he says. I was thinking about that. I was talking to my son last night. He's taking a PhD in forensics psychology, whatever, and he was talking about some of the kind of arguments, if you would, with his professor that he's dealt with in the last few months. And I'm thinking to myself, it took him a whole lifetime to get that stupid, all of that education to become that stupid. So what we have to understand is the enemy has infiltrated deception in every arena of life, in every arena of the world. To be honest, I'm not saying that there isn't some good things in education, but really the education system in its whole is a place of deception, deceiving the minds of our kids. We send them to college, and they even get more deceived, and we paid for that. And then they get, they get the big diplomas and they can get their PhDs and doctorates and master's degrees. And I understand the value of education in our culture, but what we have to understand is that deception has slowly infiltrated the lives of the church. The whole foundation of everything that Satan has built has been built on deception. Think about it from the very beginning. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and then the serpent comes, Satan comes, and brings deception, and sows, because of deception, brings the whole downfall of man. The fall of man was built on deception. In Genesis 3, verse 13, it says, "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' And the woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" Everything that Satan does is built on deception. Everything that God does is built upon truth. Think about this in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. The Apostle Paul says, "But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ." This is what he was concerned about. And I'm telling you, of what we need to be concerned about in this day is this, that we are building the lives of people that are discipled in a way that they are not going to be deceived by the deception that is run rampant over the world. The fall of man was built on deception. But what we have to understand is that we're leading into the time where the Bible is very clear that the Antichrist is coming up on the earth, and that final global deception is going to encompass the earth. And you know, the Bible is very clear that Jesus tells about the Father, that he's the Father of truth, the Father of light. But Satan is the father of all lies, of all deception. Paul writes, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times," or latter times, "some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and the teachings of demons." Isn't that very pointed, isn't it? Just tell me what you're thinking, Paul. Matthew 24, verse 24, Jesus warns us, says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise, and that even they're going to perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, "The coming of the lawless one," this is the Antichrist, "is by the activity of Satan with all power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they've refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false." Verse 12, "In order that all may be condemned who did not believe in the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This is the day and the hour that we live in. But the problem is sometimes when we think of deception and lies, and we always look at the world and we say, well, they're deceived and look how much deception, but we don't realize how vulnerable that we are individually, and allowing it to come into our lives. And I was thinking about this in the context of Abraham, where he begins to allow deception to come into his life because he lies to the king, King Amalek, and says, because his wife must have been real hot and she must have been real good looking, and he was afraid and got fearful of man, and he said, well, this isn't my wife, this is my sister. And then you know what happened. The king has a dream and God says, you better not touch her, I'm going to kill you. Basically, she's a married woman. And then he gets mad and says, why did you lie to me and tell me this was your sister? And so this kind of was the beginning in their generation of the place of deception. And the reason that he was deceiving is because he was fearful. Very often, deception comes into our life because we're afraid of things. And then we give place to it. And then what begins to happen is that there can become a generational spirit that is in our family because of deception. Because someone gave into that spirit, then all of a sudden it becomes part of the family and becomes generational. Let me show you the sins of the father, generational spirit of deception. So Isaac settled in Gerar. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, she's my sister. How many know you can't make it any more exact, right? He did the same thing that his dad did. And he walked in a place of deception. And then we go from Abraham, then we go to Isaac, and then who's the next one? The next son, Jacob. And Jacob's very name actually means deception or deceiver. And Jacob was a deceiver, a trickster. The word means to deceive others for gain. Genesis 27, it gives you the picture that you know the story. Probably most of you know the story real well, is where he deceived his dad and went in and act like he was Esau, his brother, and said, you know, bless me. You know, put on, I got hairy arms. He must have changed his voice. His dad couldn't see real well. And he asked his dad to bless him, to give him what was rightfully the firstborn's blessing. And Jacob stole that blessing from his dad. He stole it from his brother. And so the spirit of deception began to be something that was over this family. So Jacob pretends to be Esau. He lied about his name. He lied about the food. And he lied about his identity and about his love. And so this is very important, because when we talk about deception that's in the world, and we can become so, you know, point the finger towards that, but God wants us to look in our own lives. Have we allowed it to come into us? And these are the reasons that Jacob deceived. First of all, he did not trust God enough. Second, he was being influenced by his mother and generational spirit. He was lusting after things. He wanted the blessing. He wanted the birthright. He wanted the inheritance. He did not know who he was, and he was walking in fear. I was reading kind of a weird, strange book one time, and it was it's called What We Can't Not Know, and it mentions the 7 degrees of the descent that people walk in concerning lying. Isn't it weird when you look in the book of Revelation, it says in the lake of fire that one of the list of all the things is liars, lying. And in this book, it says these are the 7 levels where you get deeper and deeper in, okay? Number one, you lie. A single lie can become a match that lights a bonfire. Unless we confess the truth about our lie, we're probably on the way to level 2. Level 2, you self-protect. That is, you lie about having lied. If you lie about one thing, it's likely you will lie about another. He puts it in the book, lies are weaklings, they need bodyguards. The third level, you develop a habit of lying. A liar at the level, at this level might just be out of habit, lie about something trivial for no benefit. The fourth level, you self-deceive. You now believe the lies you're telling others. We can lie so effectively that we even lie to ourselves. We become self-deceived. 5, you rationalize. Now you not only believe that the lies are not lies, you justify the lies as positive good. Now the lying is not just a part of the normal life, but a virtue. The fourth level of lying, you develop your technique. The main technique is compartmentalized. You start isolating statements, ignoring what was said in other contexts. Level 6 liars are often found in upper echelons of bureaucracy. You probably get voted in, you know? I mean, I know we're making light of this, but how many know we're now being governed and our leaders are liars? Not everyone, I understand that, but how many know there's a lot of them? Level 6 liars are often found in you know, upper levels of bureaucracy. Liar might smoothly move from one constitute to another, saying each of these things, swearing in each instance as he's telling the truth. And then the final level of lying, you see it as your duty to lie. Level 7 lying flips duty on its head, making lying mandatory. For example, in a dysfunctional family that operates at level 7, grown siblings might kowtow to a parent for the sake of keeping dark family secrets hidden. In an organizational level 7, executives repeat corporate lies and say to their lieutenants, beware of self-anointed whistleblowers. They are critical and self-righteous. And then we see the picture of this in the Bible, and the level 7 liar is a liar that will begin to stone those who are telling the truth. When you remember the whole, like, they stoned the prophets. Jesus even talked about it. Someone that was standing up for the truth now begins to be destroyed. See, we I know it's heavy, but this is the culture, the world that we live in. That it's, lies are celebrated. Lies are lifted up. Lies are promoted. And then the truth is that which, it's almost like everything's turned upside down. And the reality is what happens, though, when the spirit of deception gets into our lives, then all of a sudden the deceived, the deceiver becomes deceived. I think one of the greatest pictures of this is when you're dealing with God trying to deal with this deception that was kind of, you know, generationally, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob is a deceiver, and now he goes and runs off because his brother's trying to kill him because of his deception. And then all of a sudden, he finds Laban and then begins to work for Laban to, you know, to get married to Rebecca. But he gets Labanized, and he was Labanized, and he all of a sudden wakes up on the morning after his wedding feast. I don't know how much he drank that night, but he woke up and it was a different, he was married to the sister, to Leah, and not Rachel. Rebecca. Rachel. Rebecca's his mama. So anyway, so then he works 7 more years to get to marry Rachel. And so the deceiver got deceived. And what we have to understand is that America, the culture of America, has been built on deception in a lot of ways. And so what's beginning to take place now is that the deceiver is getting deceived. And that not only as individuals, but as a nation. And what we have to do is we got to deal with it in our life and remove it so that we can walk in truth and see things in truth. The Apostle Paul wrote in Timothy, in fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I know when I was studying for this and I was thinking about teaching on this, like, I for a lot of you might like, yeah, this is, you know, there's deception out there. No, I think this is like critical. This is kind of like one of the most important things to us to walk in, because Jesus and the apostles said specifically over and over and over and over and over again, all the way through when it talks, even in the book of Revelation, that in the last days that there is going to come a strong deception and delusion that's going to come over the whole entire earth. And if the enemy can, even the very elect of God will be deceived. So we got to understand it's heavy. It's heavy duty. And that God wants us to be very much aware of it and deal with it in our life. And I feel like when we deal with it in us, then we're going to be able to have an authority to deal with it in the world that we live in. And so the spirit of deception in our culture, ultimately, according to the word of God, and I could give you tons and tons of verses for this, that ultimately it's leading to the greatest and final deception of the Antichrist. And everybody, like, there is going to be such a demonic deception on whoever the Antichrist is or whatever that is, I mean, because like people say, like, Kamala Harris is not the Antichrist, okay? It's not like, she is not that deceiving, okay? There is going to be such an alluring, seducing, deceptive thing that even us, we're going to have to slap ourselves. I believe it's going to be that strong. Like, no, bad. No, it's not good. And so there is a deception that is in our culture. It's infiltrated entertainment, music, education system. I mean, I hate to say this, but like, if you want to know something, the news is probably not a good place to go. Because if there might be a little truth in there somewhere, but it's not. I mean, that's like, we know that now. We live in a culture where we know, you know, watching the news, you're just, it's a bunch of, I won't say it. It's a bunch of crap. Social media. Oh, our judicial system. That's, you know, the whole thing about, you know, the whole symbols and everything of the judicial system. It's all supposed to be about truth and righteousness and fairness and everything. And it's, how many know it's not? It's all about how much money you got and how many lawyers you can pay. It's not about truth. It's about deception. The government, politics. And what we have to understand is deception now is even infiltrated through the church. We said this before, but 1 Timothy chapter 4, now the Spirit speaks expressly. Isn't it crazy how he, like this is, in the context in the Greek, how this is being written is going like, I'm really, really wanting to emphasize this. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some should depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. The conscience meaning that it no longer bothers them to tell a lie. It is as natural as speaking. And I feel like these are really crucial, is four ways that we can guard against deception. Number one, live with the knowledge that deception will be very seductive and will increase. One thing you need to know right off is this: anyone can be subject to deception. No one is immune. In fact, thinking you can't be deceived means you already are. I knew. When you are deceived, you do not know it. The whole thing about being deceived is that you don't know you're being deceived. And so live with an understanding that don't think, well, I'm above that. I'm too smart for that. No, don't live that way. Know that you can be deceived. And one of the things that you'll hear me say that as we move into these latter times, that the Holy Spirit is what we need to rely on for every moment of our life. The revelation of the Holy Spirit. And I think one of the most important gifts of the Spirit is probably discerning of spirits, is to walk in that. The second thing is, how do you guard against deception? Is prepare ahead of time. Don't wait till you're dealing with the moment or the subject matter or something that's being offered in front of you, but be prepared ahead of time. Knowing how easy it is to be swept away into deception, Paul strongly warns us to take heed. I mean, that's an old King James words there. It means watch out, you know, be aware, keep your eyes open, you know. I live that way. I always want to be aware and watch. I don't usually ever sit with my back to the door, you know. I want to be aware of things. And so what we must do with everything that's coming down the pike, even within the church, take heed. I'm not talking about having a judgmental, you know, critical spirit. I'm talking about walking in discernment and watching, because the enemy wants to deceive us. To take heed means to beware, perceive, consider carefully. That means we need to prepare ahead of time to judge those things that present themselves as truth, and we should be able to discern quickly and accurately using the knowledge that's been built up in us. And part of that, of course, is the number three, is coming to a place that we compare everything to the Word of God. Everything that we look at, everything that we hear, everything that we see, we compare it, we line it up with the Word of God. Whenever an idea, philosophy, or doctrine is presented, you never have to wonder if it's true. All you have to do is compare everything to the Word of God, and you will have your answer. That's how you guard against deception. I mean, I don't want to be, you know, too emphatic about it, but I don't even want to have an opinion. And what I mean by that is the Word of God is my opinion. What the Word says, whether I like it, whether that's what my preference is or what my, you know, my likes or dislikes, the Word of God is foundational to what truth is. And number four, live by faith. Finally, to guard against deception, you have to live by faith. That's what will keep you out of deception. There will always be challenges in this world. Even we as faith people will face them. But one thing is different for us. We know the truth. No matter, I mean, say if the elections doesn't go the way we think it should go, guess what? We know the truth. We know the truth. We know how it ends. We know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said. And so one of the things that I realized in studying, you know, Jacob, we go Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob's a deceiver. But one of the things that we realize is that when Jacob gets deceived by Laban and then comes out with his two wives and, you know, his sheep, and he's going back home, that he comes to a place that he wrestles with God. You remember that whole story? He wrestles with God. And in that wrestling with God, what happens is he breaks deception. His life, the deception is broken. And what is so important here is not only was it broken over him, it was broken over his family and for the years to come, over his generations after him. And in that wrestling with God, God is the one that says to him, you remember how he says, I'm not going to let you go, God, until you bless me. And then God says this. He says, no longer will you be identified or known by deception. You won't be called Jacob anymore. You're going to be called Israel. So the whole foundation of the word Israel and the revelation of God's people, the people of Israel, was built on a moment where deception was broken. And that name was canceled over his life. And he was called Israel, which just means God's special people. God loves the chosen people, chosen person. And one of the things that I realized when I'm studying this whole idea of deception is that we cannot deal with deception in the world until we deal with it in our nation. We cannot deal with deception in our nation until we deal with it in the church. And we cannot deal with the deception that's in the church until we deal with it in our family. And we can't deal with it in our family until we deal with it in our own selves, our own lives. And I think every once in a while we need to have a wrestling match with God. Now, he always wins, right? But we come out changed. We come out different. And I just wanted us to take some time today. I know that a lot of you think, well, I'm not a liar. I don't have deception in my life. But how many know every one of us have given place to it in some measure in our lives? And I just want us to just take some time that we deal with it individually. Will you just stand up with me? Hallelujah. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come, and we want to partner with God in this moment, in this prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. We ask you to come, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we pray together? Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, I repent for giving place to the spirit of deception in my life. Father, forgive me for all lying, all deception, and all manipulation that I've committed in my life, and cover all those sins by the blood of Jesus. I renounce every partnership with the spirit of deception. I renounce any legal right the spirit of deception has in my life in Jesus' name. I break every generational curse or tie with the spirit of deception. I address you now. Spirit of deception, get out of my life. Now, the blood of Jesus is against you. Go in Jesus' name. Spirit of deception, get out of my family now in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, fill my life with your truth. Lord, let the gifts of the Spirit, the discerning of spirits, be in operation in my life so that I will not deceive nor be deceived. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask these things. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated. And I just really feel like God calls us to times and moments that we can wrestle with God, if you would, that God can deal with us and deal with our flesh. And the reality is, when you think about the idea of deception, almost one of the last places in the Bible, the next slide, in Revelation chapter 20, almost at the end of the book, it says, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth, and Gog and Magog. Isn't it crazy to believe that even after all the things that are going to happen, you know, the catching away of the church, you know, the establishment of Jesus coming back and ruling and reigning over the planet, and 1,000 years of reigning of Christ on their planet, that spirit of deception still comes back out right at the end of the millennial, and Satan will be released from his prison, come out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth, the Gog and Magog, to gather them together for war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, Jerusalem, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil, this is where we get really excited. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That this will finally come the end of deception for eternity. Amen? Amen. And so it's just so important for us to be aware that deception is so much running rampant in the days that we live in, and that we take heed that we don't be deceived. Amen? Amen.
This is incredible. Everybody here needs this. Amen. I want to sow one thought. Just one thought. This is my personal, very personal conviction. This has taken years to develop in me. There's coming a judgment day. There's two judgments. There's the judgment seat of Christ, and there's the great white throne judgment. For all believers, there will be standing before Jesus. All the deeds that were done in the flesh will be put in the fire. It will come out. It would be burned up as hay, wood, and stubble, or precious stone, you know. And you'll receive reward accordingly. Reward accordingly. This is my deep conviction. On that day, I want to see Jesus look at me with a smile and a twinkle in his eye. That's why I'm living on this planet. I want that day to be the best day I've ever had. Nothing else matters, because he is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And if you have that spirit, you cannot be deceived, because you want him more than anything else. Let's just praise him for a minute. Praise you, Jesus. Shukorateci shisharate shike kahrotu. I come in the spirit that Todd released to break all shackles of deception, all works of darkness that have been generationally passed down, all these things that have pushed and created fear to be afraid not to tell the truth, that those be diminished and dismissed from our lives, that we live in the wholesomeness of the pure light and joy of the one who delights in us for turning to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I want to say, look, guys, our minds need to be renewed to understand that Father God is looking at the good things you do, not the bad. That it's your fouled up heart that thinks that he's judging you, but all those judgments have been placed on Christ, and he's removed your sins from you, and he wants you to live in the joy of the beautiful relationship that he's called you to in him. And he's your daddy, he's your Abba, he's the one that keeps you from deception. Would you devote your hearts to knowing him in this deep and intimate way, that nothing else on this planet matters? Everything lines up under that, and you live in the light of him and one another. Let's go ahead and stand together. Todd, you did a phenomenal, thank you so much. Thank you so much preparing our hearts for these days. If there's anybody needs any extra prayer, will you come on down? We're here, but love on each other. You're dismissed, and just rejoice in the Lord. Amen.